may bless others as well. We thank you for that and give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees, shout it, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. You may be seated in the presence. Glory. Truly, once again, we want to thank God for what he did this weekend. Thank Pastor Lucia and all of the workers once again. In case you weren't here Sunday or Monday for QLM, we just thank you for your labor of love and helping to make it what it ought to be for the kingdom of God, which was a glorious time in the Lord. Amen. We also want to thank our guests for being with us tonight. God moved mightily on Sister Sandy's life, and she's with us tonight. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for being with us. It was so powerful and so awesome, and it was at the tail end of Sunday service. So, you know, in the overflow, God was still moving. And her life has been blessed, and she's here to praise God, continue the work that God is doing in her to see it to fruition. Hallelujah. So Saturday we had questions, and we couldn't get to all of them. And there were some very dear, sincere questions, and we wanted to be able to get to them. So let me just dive in for the time that we have remaining. This one says, when you are married for a long time, it seems like communication and submissions get harder. Help! Praise God. Well, marriage, I like to use this analogy. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Yeah. I'll continue to echo that. It is the way God designed it. You know, the things that we end, the things that we see and experience on a daily basis in an average worldly marriage, they're not really a reflection of a godly marriage. These look all cloudy, huh? Leave these off. It doesn't reflect the marriage that God ordained to be. God didn't ordain the husband and wife to come together as one, to tolerate each other, to put up with each other, or to be angry or bitter towards one another. As a matter of fact, the word of God tells the husband to love the wife as Christ loves the church and laid down his life, which means in the marriage, husbands are going to have to sacrifice. You know, they're going to have to give up themselves, and if they're not willing to do so, then it's going to make the marriage difficult. God tells a woman to honor her husband, and if a woman's not going to honor her husband, then, you know, it's going to make the marriage difficult. So if you can't get over those two hurdles, you know, it's going to be a rough journey, if you will. If a woman does, if she feels like she can't submit to the authority of a man, a husband over her life, then she shouldn't get married, because you just do damage to yourself and others. And I think I can be point blank. Sex ain't all that worth it. You understand what I mean? To violate the covenant relationship of marriage, fornication or adultery, it's not worth it. You don't help your marriage by engaging in that. And fornication doesn't always lead to marriage. So it's like, leave those things alone. Keep yourself pure, keep yourself holy, because you want a whole man coming into the relationship and you want a whole woman coming into the relationship, and the two become one. But even in that, as years go by, you can grow too familiar with each other, just like we do in the body of Christ, just as saints grow too familiar with their leaders, and you know, leaders get too familiar with the people, and then we lose respect, and we also lose sight of, you know, what our positions are, if you will. We start treating each other like, you know, like we're just a nobody, if you will. And we may have been like that in the world, but not in the kingdom. You know, God operates in order. So I like to look at marriage as a lawn, if you will. Now, I like, and I'm striving for, And I'm going to get there with my home, our home, I'll say. I like a well-manicured lawn. I like a plush green lawn. I like a lawn that's that has, you know, it's got, it's edged, and it's got, you know, a design in it. You know, just the cutting back and forth, back and forth. That's okay, but I like to do it this way and then to do it that way, or to do it at an angle, because when you look at it from a distance, you see it, and it's like, yeah, that's a nice lawn. But it requires work. It won't get there by me just looking at a lawnmower. It will not get there by me just, you know, not fertilizing it or not aerating it or not doing the things necessary in order to keep it up. It requires work. And so marriage requires work. If you want a good marriage, a lively marriage, it requires work. It requires dying to yourself, you know, and living for your spouse. And the same, whether it be the husband dying to himself to live for his wife, the wife dying to herself to live for her husband. Because if you don't, yeah, things from external things will begin to affect. Even internal things will begin to affect. And if you don't learn how to forgive real quick, stuff will build up in you over the years. And that division is no longer just, you know, that's my husband or that's my wife, or, you know, they nag, 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 or, you know, he ain't no good and stuff like that. It's not just that. It's stuff that builds up over the years. You got to be quick to forgive and also quick to repent when you know that you're wrong in order to be able to keep things fresh. This is just my take on it. You can take it with a grain of salt, or you can just go out there. And I don't know if the person is watching live stream or if they're in the house who asked this question, but it's a good question for anybody and everybody, those who are married and those who are considering marriage. Because, yeah, as you get older, things can change, and they can change for the better, or they can change for the worse, if you will. And Jesus said this. He says, you know, when they came to him about the issue of divorce, and they said, you know, it's like, what do you say? Moses gave us a decree of divorce. So what do you have to say about that? And so Jesus gives a brief teaching. But he said, Moses gave that decree of divorce because of the hardening of your hearts. And that's what really happens between a husband and a wife. Their hearts harden towards each other. And so they can become bitter or angry with each other. And the least little thing starts to build up in them. And that stuff can go on for years and years and years and years and years. And then you just start looking at each other from a human level. Paul said this concerning Christ. We once knew him according to the flesh, but now we know him that way no longer. And so when we come in as husband and wife, even if we came in unsaved, but now we're saved, we have to always see them from who they are in God's eyesight and not just who they are in ours. So, yeah, you can not want to talk anymore. You can not want to submit. And I don't believe, and when I say this, let me preface it by saying I believe in the word of God, okay? God's word is true. But I don't believe that the word of God teaches that a man has to submit to his wife and a wife has to submit to his her husband. I believe that the Bible plainly, clearly, effectively teaches that the wife is to submit to her husband and the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. The Bible doesn't teach for the husband to submit to his wife. Well, what about what Paul said in the book of Ephesians? Well, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 5. And again, you know, I might not get to all of the questions because, you know, sometimes you can't just give a one-liner because a one-liner will just be like, you know, they can take that out of context and then use it as ammo against the spouse. Are you at Ephesians chapter 5? Okay, let's look at it in the chapter 5. And we'll start at verse 20, just so we don't start. I mean, we're starting in the midst of a chapter, if you will, but you'll understand as we get there. It's just preceding the verse that we want to get to. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Stop. Don't go to verse 22. Because that's what many in the body of Christ do. They stop at verse 21 and they say, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And so therefore they say that means husbands submit to the wives and wives submit to the husbands. Okay? And they use that verse and they build a doctrine off of it. And in counseling sessions, well, you know, you need to submit to her too. And, you know, as if, and men, you cannot live with that slogan that she's the boss, because that's a disrespect to your head, who's Christ Jesus. The Bible says that the Father is the head of Jesus. Jesus is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. That's divine order. That's the order that's ordained of God. Anybody that has a problem with it has no problem with the messenger. They have a problem with the author of it. And that's what God says. And there's a reason why God establishes that order, if you will. Are you with me? Okay. So if we lose sight of this, we'll start looking at our spouses like, you know, like worldly people. You know, and we'll start behaving like worldly people. But we're not worldly people any longer. We once were under the sway of the prince of the power of the air. Remember the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2, the spirit of disobedience that now works in the sons of disobedience, and we once were there, but now we're not. We're redeemed from that. We're no longer under Satan's influence or his sway. So therefore, we don't have to regulate or govern our lives the way the world does, the way tradition does, and the way people would tell us we ought to. We need to run our lives the way God's word instructs us to. For the words Jesus speak to us, they are spirit and they are life to live by. Am I making any sense? Okay. So here, if we stop at verse 21, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 1. And it reads as follows. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Who is this epistle to? Let's read it again. Is it on the screen? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Now, the whole point of what I've just had you look at is who the epistle is to. The epistle is to the saints. So it's not to the husbands and the wives. Are the husbands and wives included? Yes, for the teaching and all. But it's to the saints. So he's speaking at large. And as brothers and sisters, we are, as he teaches properly, that we are to esteem one another higher than we do ourselves as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, in the assembly. There's no big I's and little U's. No one is more important than the other. We all work together. We're a holy habitation of God in the Spirit, a place where God can come and tabernacle and minister not only to his own people, but anyone else that comes in our assembly, in our midst, that God may effectively minister to them too. And so he's speaking to the saints. So when we get to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, and he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Next verse, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's verse 22. Now does verse 23 say, husbands, submit yourselves to your own wives in the fear of the Lord. Does it say that? What does it say? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So you see, there is no God giving the order of husband submit to your wife, wife submit to your husband. In the assembly of brothers and sisters, yeah, we respect one another as brothers and sisters. But when it comes to marriage, when it comes to the relationship between the husband and the wife, it is very clear and very specific. The reason I share this with you, because many people believe that way. Husbands, you have to submit to your wives, and as the wives have to submit to you too, y'all have to submit to each other. Not in the marriage. In the marriage, God ordains wives submit to to your husbands. It is very clear. You can't even pay somebody to help you misunderstand that. But nevertheless, because preachers, I shouldn't say it like that, forgive me, messengers of God will convey something to you. And because of their standard, their position, or because of their stature in the body of Christ, we just receive it. But it doesn't matter who teaches that. It's wrong. It is not correct. So the husband is not supposed to submit to his wife. The husband's supposed to be the head, the leader. He's supposed to be the authority figure. You want God to bless your marriage and your relationship? Honor him as the head. And husbands, don't be calling your wives the boss. Well, I got to go ask the boss. Well, we got to go see what the boss says. It doesn't mean that the wife doesn't have influence and cannot share things. And the husband can be wrong about something, and the wife can bring clarity or understanding to him and help him, but she doesn't, what's the word? She does not, there's a word, it begins with an S. Not supersede. It's not surpass. You guys, you're on the right track, but let me just keep on going. But it's like you usurp authority that's not given to you by God. And so if you grow to that state to where you no longer want to submit, that means you no longer want to be in the will of God. And if you're expecting the husband, if a wife is expecting her husband to submit to her, then you're waiting for the devil to take over your marriage and not God. Does the husband respect? Yes, he respects the wife. He honors the wife. He honors her as a weaker, more delicate vessel. That's scripture. And so with that being said, as the marriage ages, just like we age, look at it from this perspective, see it from God's perspective. You know, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, if you will. And even when we get old, we shall still bear fruit in old age. Everything ought to follow the plan of God, including our marriage. Our marriage is saved too. Bring your marriage into the kingdom, to the subjection and the authority of God, so that you can experience the blessing, favor, and power of God. The greatest unity is between the husband and the wife outside of the church in Christ. When the husband and wife, are in agreement, walking as one. And believe me, beloved, if you're not there, you grow there. You have something to go after, to pursue, to make your marriage rich. And it requires work. Some of that work is willing to be transparent with each other and be able to speak to one another without being a threat to each other. If the husband is doing something that really irks you, you ought to be able to communicate to say that in such a way that you're not demeaning him and he's not demeaning you, but you're speaking to bring out the best in each other, because you reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. And so if you see this happening, put on the brakes, stop, and begin to seek God so that the kingdom of God manifests in the marriage and not just this worldly stuff to where all of a sudden we just tolerate. No, your marriage has a boom, 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 boom. What is that? Yeah, your marriage has a heartbeat. Your marriage has life. And you want it to be vibrant. You want it to look like a well-manicured lawn. Yeah. Praise God. Somebody really takes care of that lawn. They water it. They fertilize it. They not only mow it, they cut it with a design in it. They take their time. Then they edge it, and they just, oh, man, I just love looking at that. And that's the way it ought to be with the marriage. Oh, you're living way off on the deep end. No, I'm living in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm seeing it from God's perspective. Marriage is a wonderful thing. God ordained marriage. God brought the two together and performed marriage. Now, do you think God wanted Adam and Eve to be duking it out, you know, at each other's throat? How come you didn't, you know, why you didn't take out? And stuff like, no. No, he created it for joy and pleasure. And remember, God is the one who made intimacy sweet, intimacy good. He's the one that put the good in there. He put the pleasure in there. Not the devil, not Hollywood, not some, you know, star out there, whether it's movie star, singer, or somebody like that. And it ain't all about, you know, wearing the racy clothes and stuff like that. Listen, you ought to keep your stuff for your husband. Amen? And the husband ought to keep his stuff for his wife. I don't need to be going around in a tank top. First of all, I got a gut. But I don't need to be going around in a tank top so that everybody could see what belongs to Pastor Lucia. That's the sacredness of marriage. It's sacred because the relationship belongs between her and I, and not me and somebody else and somebody else and somebody else and her or somebody else and somebody else. It's sacred because it's between us. It's a covenant. Hallelujah. And so you just never let go of the vision of God concerning marriage, and you always, you have to see that it just don't happen. You know, faith just don't happen. You got to act on faith. You can say, I believe, 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 all you want to until you act on what you believe. Your believing is not going to do anything. You understand that? So we work it, and it's when we start to take the initiative towards it that we start to see the desired results. So when you're married for a long time, let me add to this. When you're married for a long time, you should really enjoy it. Hallelujah. Look at marriage like the appreciation of a house. Over the years, it acquires equity. The value of it just gets more and more. It increases more and more. You know, see it in that aspect, that the more the years, I can't wait till Pastor Lucia and I celebrate 40 years of marriage, 50 years of marriage, you know, 60 if Jesus tarries, you know, because it's marriage, it acquires value. When you hear somebody say, we've been married 60 years, first thing you want to do is applaud. Because people be like, yeah, because that's hope for others, that, yeah, marriage still works. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, if all they've been doing is tolerating each other and hating each other, it don't matter. 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, they probably lost it in year two. And just been tolerating for the other 48 or 58. And it's like, no, you should enjoy each other. I like watching Brother and Sister Oliver when they're here because, you know, they started young and they're still together and they love each other. They're inseparable. When they're apart, they feel it. I mean, they feel it. And that's the thing about when you become one, it's like your heart becomes one and you try and pull it. It's like trying to rip a heart apart, if you will. But you grow into that place. Because it's ordained by God. So all we got was one question. Obviously, I need help with my answers to shorten them. Is it wise to use dating websites to look for a husband? I've answered this years ago before, and I'll answer it with the same answer, and that is, if you can't wait on God, you know, if you can't wait on the Lord to, because the husband is supposed to find you. Oh, yes, it says to look for a husband. The husband's supposed to be looking for you. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So make sure you're that good thing that he can find. Amen. You need to make sure you're doing the good things so that when he finds you, he finds treasure and he finds favor with God because of you. Yeah. So if you can't wait on the Lord and you got to go, you got the gotchas, okay, all right. Praise God. I got to do this next week or maybe Sunday morning. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it Friday. When is it? No, that's. Okay, let's end it for tonight. Stand to your feet. Did you get anything from that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. My next one is, how do you know if you are submitted to God in your marriage? Obviously, we got to have a series, a Sunday series or so, or Wednesday, on just marriage in and of itself, because marriage is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. That phrase was coined September the 6th, 2008. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for just a couple of questions that we got to. Thank you for moving. Thank you for the release. Thank you for the healing that's moving forward. We pray for every person that may have sickness or pain in their body, that they be touched right now by your power, healed of all brokenness, healed of despair and hopelessness, healed, Lord God, made completely whole, spirit, soul, and body. You have to receive it. You have to receive it. You have to receive it. Spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name. As we prepare to leave this place, we shall not go away from your presence. Command your sovereign angels to watch over each and every one of us, seeing us safely to our destination, that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come near us, and no hurt, harm, or danger shall come our way. Guide us safely. Now, Lord our God, bless each and every one of you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you can just be patient with me just one moment, please. Oh, Jesus, I can understand. Shall I make all of this known or shall we just pray? It's okay? It's okay. Amen. We want to come in agreement for deliverance. This is a prayer request for Sister Nicole's brother. He informed the family 2 days ago that he's in a relationship with a man. So the parents are having a difficult time. Pray for deliverance, peace, and healing. You know, we are so divided that if she submitted this request in some churches, they would say to her, why don't you just pray for acceptance and accept who he is? Well, who he is Frank. Frank is a man. And man was not made to have a relationship, sexual relationship with another man. He was made to have a relationship in holy matrimony with a wife. So this is wrong in God's eyesight. It's not our opinion. It's the word of God. And this stuff is getting more and more devastating to many, for lack of better words. But if the church doesn't stand up and and not fear the persecution that may come, then this stuff is going to run so rampant, it'll be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. So, Father, we come into agreement with Sister Nicole. We pray for her brother Frank. In the name of Jesus, deliver him. Deliver him from the spirit of homosexuality. Lord, it was a time when the church knew clearly, plainly, that this was an abomination in your eyesight. And though you have not changed, many have changed their thought, their ideas, their doctrine, their mindset. Many have accepted it as if it's normal. But Father, you've not changed and your word has not changed. So we pray for Frank's salvation. We pray for this other person that he's having this sexually immoral relationship with. We pray that it would be cut off, it would be severed, that both of them will come to their right mind. Though the world may accept it, Master, though political leaders may accept it, though many may accept it, Lord, you don't. We don't condemn them, Lord God. We pray for their salvation. We pray for their deliverance. We pray that they will be made whole. We pray that they would keep to themselves. We pray that they would be loosed from this sexually immoral spirit, sexual perversion. Break the chains. Sever the ties. Deliver them. And we pray also for the parents. We pray for their heart. We pray for their mind. We pray for their soul. We pray for the entire family, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring comfort to them as you bring deliverance to Frank and this other person. Bring comfort and bring peace in their hearts that they've cast this on you. Cast this care on you. Cast this burden on you. Cast this thing on you because you care about them, Father, and you'll bring them peace and you'll bring them comfort and you'll bring them assurance that you will deliver if they only believe. They want their son saved, and we do too, Master. It's your will that none perish, but all come to repentance. So save Frank. Save this other person. Deliver them from the bondage. Deliver them from the shackle. Deliver them from the lust. Deliver them from the perversion. Deliver them from that spirit, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You sexually perverse spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you. In the name of Jesus, loose them and let them go. And Father, we vow to give you the glory. We receive it right now. We believe it right now. We believe their deliverance is right now in Jesus' name. We believe that they're turning from the errors of their way right now. We believe, Lord God, you are moving. Angels are moving. You are moving on that situation. We believe it right now in Jesus' name. Devil, you got to let them go now in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. That they both be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And in that, we give you praise. Now cover your sons and daughters that we may bask in your presence when we lay down and when we rise.